Happy Halloween from WWGH Radio. It is time for Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, featuring my special guests, Dr. Ronald Feynman and Mike Essen, both from Southern Florida. We're going to talk about politics and current events and debate a little bit. Want to get right to the show? This show is so exciting, we're actually going to skip over the coffee commercials and we'll have to get a rain check for the national anthem. We'll play that, I think, next week before the show begins. So without further ado, let's take a trip about 1,000 miles to the southeast and visit with two good friends of mine, brothers in broadcasting of sorts, Mike Essen, Dr. Ronald Feynman, on a special show we're calling The Finest in Mid-Morning Coffee Breaks with Adam and the Professor and Mike.
Adam Lapp!
And I am very pleased to have a special duo of guests with me today on the show. In fact, we have a special name for the show today. We're going to call it The Finest Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and the Professor and a gentleman who's not new to broadcasting. He's actually formerly a movie reviewer. We're going to talk about that as we introduce him. But someone who's not new to talk radio, he's also from Florida. His name is Mike Essen. He'll be along with me. And, of course, the Professor, Dr. Ronald Feynman, a good friend of mine and of the radio station, WWGH 107.1 FM, and broadcasting all over the great world we live in, WWGH1071.com. We'll talk briefly with Dr. Feynman about himself. But first, I want to introduce a new guest, hopefully will be the first of a few times he'll be on the air. His name is Mike Essen. He's also in Southern Florida. Mike, first, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Adam?
Fairly fantastic for fall, I suppose. And as I mentioned, Mike, you are new to WWGH. I'd like to extend the red carpet because you certainly deserve it. Why don't you share a little bit about yourself with our listeners?
Sure. As you mentioned, I started out on the internet. First, I started out in 1999 on terrestrial radio, hosting a local show in North Broward County, the county of Fort Lauderdale, where the two issues stood out then were I was very pro-life and I defended the war in Iraq. But at the same time, my passion in life is really movies, and I had a movie review site, and somehow I turned into a staunch conservative talk show host who was blackboards on nails on a blackboard to liberals, and very pleasant to hear from conservatives, though liberals seem to respect me too. And I've been broadcasting for 19 years. For 5 years, I've done a talk show, and I've been active in politics since the 80s. I was a 14-year-old Jewish conservative in 1985, not very common, strange combination. And the two things that got me into conservatism, Adam, were my passion for the unborn. I think slaughter of them is something that's a blot in this country. And my staunch anti-communist stance, which at times is as much a direct threat to our country, as younger viewers may not know, as Islamofascism is today, if not more. But I also, other causes came along. I think we need to keep more of our money in the middle class and expand businesses in the free market, achieving our dreams, the right to protect ourselves at home and abroad, America first. And even now, we hot button issue of immigration, the left just seems to want amnesty while we want to secure our borders and not bankrupt our country. So I still go to the movies a lot. I'm a baseball and football fan. Not so much basketball. It's a little boring. It's too much dynasty oriented to me. But I like to think of myself as a jack of a few trades.
So, like our other guest, Ron, Mike, you are of the same religion. You're also a big baseball fan. Also, in Southern Florida, but as mentioned, your political beliefs are very different. Ron tends to the left. Again, he's just kind of a mainstream Democrat, whereas you're definitely a conservative. Mike, have you been conservative all your life? Has that been a philosophy that you've had since you were a child, or how did your political philosophy develop?
Great question. There was no what I call road to the master experience. When I was 14, I came to a family of very liberal grandparents and a centrist father, became more conservative later on. When I announced that I was conservative, it was like I said, I wasn't Jewish anymore. And I never gave up my principles. And I stuck to every principle I have from admiring people as a kid, such as, no, he was not a racist, Jesse Helm, Henry Hyde, Oliver North, Phyllis Schlafly, who's a two-time guest on my show, Ronald Reagan, of course, who ended the Cold War, along with the people I mentioned. And even today, people like Rush Limbaugh and, yes, Wayne LaPierre and Mark Levin and Sean Hannity, who are influencers in my life in the political spectrum. And for the movie critic spectrum, it's almost an obsolete profession, but I love doing it and I love going to movies. But no, there is nothing that's changed me ever. I've been a lifelong conservative and a Republican. The first one, conservative, first Republican, second.
You're listening to the Fine S in Mid-Morning Coffee Breaks with Adam, hosted by yours truly, Adam Lepp, also known as Adam the Computer Guy, a man of many monikers. My guest today, our regular guest and panelist friend of mine, Dr. Ronald Fineman, and a new guest, hopefully we'll have him on from time to time, Mike Essen, who's in the Miami, Florida area. Again, the interesting thing about today's show is that Ron Fineman and Mike Essen have very different political beliefs, although interestingly, as men, they're similar in a lot of ways. So this will be a very interesting and lively discussion. Ron, we'll have you talk a little quickly about yourself, as you are, again, a veteran of the station, but we want people to know a little more about you. But we're going to talk about three of the most important political and contemporary historical events that are currently facing the country and the world. But first, Ron, remind our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I want to thank you again for inviting me, Adam. And, of course, I have a blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, which I've done since August 2008, and I have like 5,750 entries on there, plus all my radio interviews, my C-SPAN interview about my book, Assassination Threats and the American Presidency, from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama. Also, my many articles on History News Network, some of them also republished on Newsweek or Time. And the most recent, just today, is about the Antiquities Act of 1906 and how it's been destroyed by recent Republicans, and particularly by what the Trump administration now wants to do by indeed closing down or cutting back, actually, the national monuments in Utah. And my oldest son, David, of course, works for the Conservation Lands Foundation. So his group, and he's a lobbyist, is fighting against this. And so it was perfect timing that I came up with this article today. But anyway, I've been a professor. This is my 46th year of teaching, although I'm retired. And I love to indeed be communicative and speak on radio. And if I have a chance, like I have been on C-SPAN, I appreciate that with my interview with Brian Lamb. And I love writing, and I love teaching, and I love discussing politics. And, you know, Mike and I only live 30 miles apart. I live in Boca Raton. He's in Pembroke Pines area. But we're more than 30 miles apart in our viewpoints. But it's really fun, and I've been on his show, and it was a great experience.
And that's part of the fun, my friends, having an intellectual debate where we can still be friends, still shake hands, but understand what makes us different is what makes us all great members of the species Homo sapiens. So let's talk about the first topic, gentlemen. I'm going to let Mike start with the answer. Mike, Ron and I have talked on my show many times, and of course, you've probably seen Ron talk about it on his blog, that we don't believe that Donald Trump will be president through the end of his term, which I believe would be January 20th of 2021. We're thinking maybe spring of next year might be when he either gets impeached or is forced to resign or is removed by the 25th Amendment. Mike, do you agree with that? I mean, I know as a conservative, you certainly support Trump, but like anybody, you don't agree with everything he has to say. Do you think he's going to finish his term? Do you think he should be possibly impeached, or is he maybe not a good choice for president? What are your perspectives on that?
He will finish his term. First of all, to start out, he has done nothing to be impeached. He is very controversial. He's the most polarizing president in my lifetime. I was born in 1971. But people either seem to love him or hate him. But remember, the House and the Senate are Republican based controls. The Senate's going to be up for grabs. But the House, remember, every 2 years, the same person generally gets reelected, though with presidents there are changes. So they don't have the votes, first of all. I think people know that there's nothing, no grounds yet, and it would tie up the country tremendously. And here's another point that's very crucial. Liberals do not want Pence for 3 terms, possibly, and he is not controversial at all except for his views. And another thing is, you want to know how I think he's doing as president, Adam? Is that one of the questions you asked me?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. I give a B plus, and I'll explain why. I think he right now ISIS is gained a role as a superpower. I'll start with foreign policy. ISIS is practically destroyed. Illegal immigration since he has took office cracked down 70%. He appointed a strict obstructionist in Neil Gorsuch, which I'm glad Merrick Garland wasn't appointed. I thank Mitch McConnell at least for that. He signed an executive order for fracking. We need that for our economy. He reversed Mexico City policy, and I can go on and on, but the only misgiving I have is there's a couple of problems that he hasn't kept. I wish he cut down the tweets a little bit, but he should move the embassy, which he promised to do, from Israel to Jerusalem, and I don't think he's tried hard enough to defund Planned Parenthood. That was a major promise of his, but we have great confidence back, and that's why the stock market's up, and we've had millions of jobs since he has took office, both overseas and now. We have a historic opportunity for tax reform, so no, he will not be impeached when he gets a B+.
So, and like many conservatives, Mike, you're not saying he's a great president, but he's decent. Obviously,
no.
He's coming into office during a tricky time in this country and in the world around us, but you definitely feel he's doing a decent job. And you do feel then that he will serve out his term. And if he does, what do you think are his chances? Again, he'll be, I think, 73 years old. What are his chances of being reelected?
It depends on a lot of things, but I will guess anyways. Because the candidates against him are not very strong or too old, in my opinion, much older than he is, like Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden on one hand. You have Kamala Harris, Corey Breyer, and Deval Patrick on the other hand. Who is what your audience is probably thinking on the last three. And he knows how to relate to people, which the last candidate, Mitt Romney, who ran against Barack Obama, didn't. And that's one of the things that cost him. He's not knowing how to relate to people who didn't earn his salary when Donald Trump is, you know, schmoozing out with Howard Stern, basically, and is a good friend of his. And I think he will. I think these things are accomplished. People vote their pocketbook first. And I think they will realize the media is creating more messes than actually he is in.
But certainly we find this to be an interesting presidency. Again, he's unique in that he's the first president ever never to have held either a military position or higher office. One last question on that, Mike, before we take a look at Ron's perspective. What do you think about his lack of political or military experience? Has that hindered or maybe even helped him? He's coming in kind of with a clear mind.
I don't mind. I mean, all I care about right now is that he's protecting us from right now in the military field. I love Mad Dog Mattis as the Secretary of Defense. I think that, I mean, John Kerry had military experience, and I hate to have him as president. And if the liberals were consistent and they want someone military experience, they would choose Oliver. They would choose Oliver North a long time ago and stop whining about him not having it.
Okay, Ron, let's go ahead and get your perspective. You heard what Mike Essen had to say, giving Donald Trump a B+. Go ahead and remind our listeners why you feel that Trump will no longer be president, let's say, 6 to 10 months from now. And what do you think about what Mike had to say about the Trump presidency?
Sure, thank you. I would start off by saying what I said on History News Network and was republished on Newsweek in February after about a month, that he will not last longer than between the 6.5 months which he's passed of James A. Garfield, who was assassinated in 1881, and the 492 days of Zachary Taylor, who died after 60 months in office of natural causes. So I say by May 27th of next year, which would be the Zachary Taylor anniversary of 492 days, he will be gone. And I think that what's coming up now in the next weeks with Mueller is going to lead to him ultimately resigning, because I believe that his son and son-in-law will be indicted and that he will discover or decide the only way to save them is to resign. That does not mean he wouldn't come back. He could possibly come back as an independent in 2020 against the Republicans or the Democrats and still win. That is a possibility, but I do not think he will survive, and I do think his reckless, maniacal, unstable behavior is alarming to foreign governments. We're indeed more friendly with dictatorships, authoritarian governments, than we are with our natural allies like Great Britain, France, and Germany. And I wish to point out, interestingly, Great Britain and Germany have women leaders, and he's always had a problem with women. And he even brought it up when he attacked Wilson, the congresswoman, and of course he was attacking her, but he brought up the term women, then he changed to persons. He has a real problem with women. He's a misogynist. And he's frankly a white supremacist. He's embraced the white supremacist groups, even though he claims he hasn't. He has alienated many members of his own party. And he has accomplished nothing, I think, except Neil Gorsuch, which, of course, only came about because the filibuster rule was changed by Mitch McConnell. He never would have been confirmed if you had to have 60 votes to have a vote. So Neil Gorsuch looks like he's to the right of Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito after that case about the truck driver that was fired and he ruled as a circuit court judge that he should not be given compensation, and the whole court 8-0 without, of course, a ninth member. All of them, including Thomas and Alito, overruled that circuit court decision in which Gorsuch was involved. And I was stunned saying, imagine Thomas and Alito. So the fact is he's to the right of them. We can't do anything about it, but it is a tragedy that Merrick Garland was not allowed to be considered. It's the longest period without having a position filled, and there was no just cause just because it's the last year of the term that he could not be considered, and it would have been a far more centrist justice on the court had he been given the chance to be, to be considered. So I would give him an F. I would give him an F. As a professor, I'd say he's failed. He's divided the country. He has indeed undermined our foreign policy in many areas. He is destroying the environment, as I pointed out, working on it with the EPA head Pruitt and the Secretary of the Interior Zinke. The Attorney General is undermining justice. He's a horrible person. But imagine, as bad as he is, and he's a horrible person, the fact is now Roy Moore, if he is the new senator, which hopefully he will not be, he will make Jeff Sessions look good. That's how bad the Republican Party, some of them, have become. And that's why people such as Flake and as McCain and Corker have spoken up. And I just wish more of them would speak up. So I agree that impeachment is not going to happen anytime soon because of the Republican Party. But they're going to pay for it in 2018, I think. But I do think that he will be. And he will end up resigning, or if his behavior continues, we could employ the 25th Amendment, Section 4, if the vice president has the guts, and I use a stronger word, but we're on the radio, because I think a majority of the cabinet knows their boss is somehow very unhinged, and they've tolerated a lot of abuse from him, including Tillerson, for instance, and I think at some point they might decide that it's time that indeed tends to take over as acting president, not necessarily as president, but acting president, and so it is determined whether indeed this president has indeed dementia or indeed has bipolar, which I think he does. His behavior is atrocious. So I still think that he will be gone by the spring of 2018 by one method or another, but probably not impeachment.
Gentlemen, we probably could spend the next week talking about this topic. We'll discuss two other topics. Certainly, this is a main one. Pretty much every roundtable, in some fashion, leans to some discussion about the Trump presidency, the uniqueness of Mr. Trump, his family, and the assorted shenanigans that we seem to hear in the news every day. I'm going to give both of you guys a chance to make a quick rebuttal. Mike, first, I'm sure you saw Dr. Feynman's blog where he referred to our president as a psychopath and a sociopath. Tell us quickly what went through your brain when you saw that.
If you wouldn't have said that, I would think somebody would be somebody else talking. But here's the thing, Ron and Adam. You have to be a psychologist to make that judgment. I am not one. I think sometimes he impulsively tweets, but if he was a psychopath or sociopath, think about this. He would have pushed the button. He wouldn't be talking. He wouldn't be dealing with other countries. He wouldn't have the Congress over. He wouldn't have the Republicans over his place when Seddon betrayed him on the repeal of Obamacare. So, no, I don't go for that. But if Ron didn't say it, I'd be surprised if Ron thought otherwise. And Ron is entitled to his opinion, as am I, and I respect differences. Donald Trump is not my father. He is my president.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Again, let's let Ron talk just briefly. Anything you wanted to add about this topic before we get to the number two question on the agenda?
Well, I think that, you know, the idea that he hasn't used the button, the nuclear button, doesn't mean he won't, because I think he is likely to do it. And I think a lot of Republicans behind the scenes, not in the pub, not in open way, because they're afraid to, which shows they have no you-know-what, cojones, I'll use the Spanish word for it, you can figure out the English. I think they realize that he could decide to use nuclear weapons on North Korea, and I'm not claiming North Korea is an easy issue, certainly not, but I do think that that is not the answer, and it would cause massive Holocaust, not just the people in North Korea, but also in South Korea, because it's right there, and Japan, and also our troops and our American nationals that are there. And I think the whole idea of even talking about possibly using nuclear weapons and being interested in it and wanting to know what's the point of having them if we don't use them, which he has said, which makes him too dangerous to leave in office. And Mike Pence, for that reason alone, should activate the 25th Amendment, Section 4, because the president cannot fire him. He can fire anyone else. He cannot fire Mike Pence, and Mike Pence needs to do what is good to the nation, not what is good indeed for, you know, for Trump. He has to think about the long range beyond himself, and I agree, I don't care for Mike Pence, but he's at least not crazy, he's not reckless, I don't like his views, but he's not unhinged like Donald Trump, so we'll have to just deal with Mike Pence in the White House, but I prefer that than to having this man who could go off the deep end any day, has horrible temper tantrums and fuming. And honestly, the way he acts, he could drop dead of a heart attack because he's very stressed. He's finally, the first time in his life, learning what it is to have a difficult job, which he thought the presidency was not difficult, which to me, I've never been and never will be, but I know it's difficult, but he was cocky enough to think it would be easy, and now he admits it would be, it's difficult. And I think he's finally over challenged because he's not as smart as he thinks he is, and he doesn't have the background and the knowledge that he should have. He is very lacking in knowledge of history and science, and even spelling. He can't even spell correctly on Twitter. And again, we can all make a mistake once in a while, but he does it all the time. And he keeps on bragging about himself. This is obscene behavior, and foreign leaders see it. So I think he is a danger that he could indeed start a nuclear war.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. You are listening to a special and very interesting edition/debate on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, moderated by yours truly, Adam Lepp, here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM and broadcasting online at WWGH1071.com. We are calling this edition the finest in Mid-Morning Coffee Breaks with Adam and the Professor and a new guest on the station, Mike Essen from Florida. Let's get on to question number two. I'll let Ron provide the first answer. We're kind of trying to switch back and forth here. Ron, we've talked a lot. Again, you and I have messaged back and forth. You've talked on your blog and pick up the news. Go to CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, whatever your favorite news channel or news website is. And the threat of World War III is on a lot of people's minds. This is a very serious topic. What are your thoughts, Ron? Is there a risk of World War III? And what do you think is a way to hopefully reduce this risk?
I think there's definitely a fear of having a World War III. It's hard to say what the exact parameters would be, but we're seeing what's going on in Europe. Spain is now in disarray. We see Iraq is in disarray. We see that there's a lot of discontent in Eastern Europe, in the countries of Eastern Europe that are becoming more right-wing and actually getting closer to the viewpoint of Putin. Putin is having a massive impact on international affairs. China, of course, is now becoming a superpower, and its leader is going to be the most powerful since Mao Zedong. I think, of course, North Korea is obviously an issue. Iran is an issue. I agree Iran's an issue, but my thought is that every indication is the nuclear deal is working. If it doesn't, we can always react. But to start up trouble with Iran and go against the international agreement that Germany, Britain, France, China, and Russia all agree on and plan to continue is unwise, because that means we're dealing with Iran and North Korea and also threatening Venezuela. I understand Venezuela has many issues, and I'm not happy with what's going on there. But again, it's making us look like Uncle Sam being imperialistic in Latin America and trying to intervene in the internal affairs of another nation that we don't agree with. And I just think, you know, between his misbehavior and the lack of unity with the NATO alliance and with the European Union, and even with South Korea, where we're arguing about a trade deal as they face a possible war. This is not the time to be worrying about trade deals. It's reckless to do that. Undermining our faith in Japan, talking about maybe having Japan and South Korea have nuclear weapons instead of us defending them. and just the instability in the world, and again, Spain, I'm worried about a lot now, as a sign of Putin's influence. I think, you know, that our president doesn't have a clue, but he also is very hip about quick action and speaking and saying ridiculous things. And I think we could have him being a factor in the provocation that would lead to World War III, which would be a disaster to the world, far worse than the First or Second World Wars.
That was the opinion of Dr. Ronald Fineman, a regular friend and guest here on the station. Thank you very much, Ron. An interesting perspective on a very sensitive topic. Now let's speak with the other gentleman in our panel today, Mr. Mike Essen, from Southern Florida. Again, Mike, what are your thoughts about the chances of World War III? Does this worry you like it does a lot of people? And how can we resolve this risk of World War III?
Adam, I feel we're in World War III. I'm not nuclear war, World War III. We have wars all over the world. We're in Afghanistan. We were in Iraq. And we are. And yes, North Korea and Iran, which I want to focus on now, are the enemies there, the dangers. And also, I will say this flat out, as controversial as it may be to your audience, radical Islam, which would not be defined by our former President Obama, I love saying those words, is really the main cause of half of it. And Kim Jong-un is the cause of the other half. Now, as for whether we should, I want to say Iranian nuclear deal is not working because Iran is in charge of that deal and they have violated it at least five times. It was an automatic yes for Obama putting us at risk for nuclear attack when they're threatening Israel and America. And I think we should, North Korea, I saw backing off a little, then coming back to, I want to strike you. Take those threats seriously. Those bombs are not toys. Like in 1981, when Israel took out Iraq from the arsenal, I'm not talking about nuclear weapons, please hear me out here. We should use air power to bomb the tar out of both those countries' nuclear arsenals if we have to. I'm not saying it's the first option, but the Iranian nuclear deal should be torn to shreds, as Ted Cruz promised in his campaign, and Donald Trump hasn't really done it yet. I'm disappointed in that, so he's taking a strong stance. And with North Korea, I hope China takes care of them. They don't have an ICBM yet, but we have to get, you get a snake before it coils, any hunter will tell you that. And radical Islam, you have to understand something. I mentioned earlier about the former threat of communism. They have attacked our country. Boston Marathon, 9/11, Fort Hood was a terrorist attack, Orlando, and all over Muslim Europe, radical Islamic fascism is the problem. And the fact that he has defeated ISIS, I think, shows him stronger.
Well, thank you, Mike. An interesting perspective there. Certainly, it's not a topic we like to talk about, but we need to address it as it's important. And again, pick up a newspaper, magazine, or your favorite news website, or watch the news on TV, and it's certainly going to be on the agenda. Ron, you heard what Mike had to say. What are your thoughts about his perspective on this issue?
Well, he talks about Islamic terrorism. Yes, we've had a few attacks, but we've had more attacks by white Christian extremists in the United States that have caused much more bloodshed. And yet our president, you know, embraces white supremacists and doesn't have a problem with this. And he will never make an issue if a white Christian, gets involved in using guns and indeed causing mass murder. So that, to me, is very disturbing. Yes, we have to worry about Islamic extremism. But I do think that we're doing a good job, and it's not just because Trump's in. We did a good job under Obama. I think people, you know, want to forget that. Just like going back to what Mike said earlier about the economy being good. The economy is better last year than it is this year. And you got to remember, the stock market went from 8,000 to 21,000 or 22,000 under Obama, triple. It was the greatest recovery ever. It was greater than FDR and the New Deal, getting us out of the Great Depression. It was from 10% unemployment down to below 5. But according to Trump, that was nothing because it didn't matter. But his first month, the unemployment went down. That's all that matters. Well, I think it's the same thing with Islamic extremism. I think that the fact that ISIS, ISIL is far less of a threat now, although in other ways it is because of people going home to their home countries. But I think a lot of that is due to what happened under Obama, not just because Trump suddenly became president in January.
Thank you, Ron. That certainly was a good perspective. Again, a difficult topic, kind of hard thing to talk about, but I think we need to address it as Americans. Let me give Mike a chance to rebut or comment on what Ron had to say.
Sure. First of all, regarding the economy, we were next to nil on economic growth. We were coming into a major recession under former President Obama. The stock market is booming by the minute, and new jobs have not only come in this country, but overseas from President Trump. Now, as to the Christian extremism, as a Jew, I consider the evangelical Christians our best friends. There are extreme, they condemn Fred Phelps, the people I associate myself with, like Coral Ridge Ministries wrote about me the other day in one of their newspapers, Pastor Jerry Newcomb, shameless plug there. And Jerry Falwell Jr., John Hagee, the great friends of the Jewish community, and many others. And what happened in Charlottesville were not people who were mainstream Christian America. But if you look at what's in the Bible, the New Testament, it's love your enemies. When you look at the Quran, it's kill your infidels. And the thing is, I don't hear moderate Muslims speaking about it. And it baffles me. And as for Obama doing well with Islamic terrorism, he embraced the Muslim Brotherhood. He had a Cairo speech which sounded like he was a sympathizer, is at best. I'm being kind here. And he erased the 6-7 war that began against Egypt with Israel. And the 6-7 borders don't even exist. He was Israel's worst enemy, according to many, many Jewish sources, except for the leftist Jewish community, which has a brand loyalty of D next to their name. That concludes my statement.
You are listening
to... May I respond?
Oh, yes. One second, Ron. You're listening to The Finesse and Mid-Morning Coffee Breaks with Adam and the Professor and Mike, new guest here on the station, Mike Essen, a conservative commentator and movie critic, also a gentleman of many broadcasting skills in the Southern Florida area. We welcome Mike to our airwaves, and great to have him along. Yes, Ron, go ahead if you'd like, and let me know what you think about what Mike had to say. The general question was, what are the risks of another world war, and how can we solve or at least reduce the risk of a tragedy like this happening?
Sure. Thank you, Adam. I want to point out, I'm not saying that most white Christians are extremists or violent, but there certainly is enough evidence of that, and the president never calls those people out. He calls out when it is a Muslim extremist incident, but most Muslims in the United States are law-abiding citizens, are decent people. They are not responsible for what a small fringe of their group does. Of course, it's deplorable what happens, but I think the kind of attitude toward Muslims, which has promoted hatred of Muslims, and action by many people in this country, actually undermines our whole stability and security. And as far as the Jewish community, the fact is Obama, helped with the Iron Dome. He sent more money and support to Israel than any president before him. It's the same kind of people that say what was just said, as say Jimmy Carter was that good, but Jimmy Carter got the Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty, which is still in effect and has been a great source of stability in the Middle East. I would argue Carter and Obama are the two best presidents Israel has had. Just they didn't always have everything they said accepted, because friends can debate and they can disagree. It doesn't mean you're an enemy because you disagree. But if you look at Bush 1, James Baker was clearly anti-Semitic. Reagan had many issues with Israel. Bush 2 also had many issues. Even Nixon did, although he went to the aid ultimately in 1973. But I think Republicans have been just as much contentious with Israel if you look at the facts. And I'm going to be doing a lecture in Boca Raton, Florida in February about U.S.-Israeli relations from Truman to Trump. And I go through all the presidents and all the ups and downs, because it's like in the family. People fight in the family. They still love each other and they're close to each other, but they don't have to always agree with everything that the other side says. And they can sometimes push the other side to do something different. And that's what I see. And 2/3 of Jews would agree with me. It's not a small percentage about the fact that they think Obama was good for Israel. And these same 2/3 do not like Netanyahu particularly, and I do not. I think he is. It's time for him to leave. He's been there a long time, and we need a new change of leadership in Israel, because I think he undermines Israeli security now and in the future as long as he stays.
We'll give Mike a chance just to comment on what Ron had to say, then we'll get on to the third and final question. Mike, any comments on what Ron had to say?
Yes. I mean, Obama was not a good friend to Israel, and Trump has disappointed me in the sense that he is. I don't want to talk too much about Obama for me, because he's gone now. I can move forward if that's okay with you, Adam. But I think that he needs to move the embassy to Jerusalem. Unlike Ron, I am a big admirer of Bibi Netanyahu. He is a lion for his people, and he speaks to AIPAC, he speaks to a group I'm a member of, Christians United for Israel, though I'm Jewish. He is like the father who protects his kids and the teacher who bullies him. I mean, he has kept that nation safe, unlike Shimon Peres, who was in Wuss. And I really believe, though, that as for Jimmy Carter, he wrote a book about, I have to mention this, to inform your audience not to know this, comparing Israel to South Africa under apartheid, which is blatantly anti-Semitic, and he should hang his head in shame for that. Ronald Reagan, you ask anybody in Israel, would they say he was a friend. And this president has embraced Israel in many speeches, and he has been praised by the head of SCUFI, John Hagee. He has been praised, AIPAC likes him. Obama, they didn't want him. That's my statement.
You are listening to the Finesse in Mid-Morning Coffee Breaks, moderated by yours truly, Adam Lepp, here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM, broadcasting online through our website, WWGH1071.com. My guests today are Mike Essen, a conservative commentator, broadcasting person, movie reviewer. That's kind of hard to say, but he is in southern Florida, the same place that our other guest, regular guest on the station, Dr. Ronald Fineman, where he hangs his hat. That would be Boca Raton, Florida. Professor, blogger, again, all-around interesting guy. And Ron does tend the other direction, more to the left. So we're having a fun intellectual debate about some important topics, as we think we need to address them and see what the opinions are of our two guests. Third and final question, and I'll let Mike comment first. Let's say, Mike, that Donald Trump does not finish his term, and again, we're only saying that this may happen. That's always a possibility. So if he were to resign or be impeached or in some other fashion no longer occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and Mike Pence were to become the president, whom do you think Mike Pence might pick as his running mate? Also, do you think that our governor here in Ohio, John Kasich, might be one good choice for vice president?
Marco Rubio and no. Those are the two answers to the questions I will have. Senator Rubio migrates today to Florida. First of all, Rubio, though he has been a little too absent, I was a Cruz supporter in the primary, although I respect Rubio very much, is a orator in the sense that he makes Everett Dirksen look like Michael Dukakis. Everett Dirksen was a great orator in the old days, before my time, which your audience doesn't know. And Michael Dukakis could, there's not enough caffeine in the country to keep you awake if he spoke. But, and also Rubio is a hawk on foreign policy, which appeals to a lot of people, but he also appeals to people who are the Hispanic community, which we need as Republicans, which Pence, we don't know, well, he's vice president, you know, he is not really taking Rubio's stance on immigration, good for Pence, and Rubio's not denounced the Gang of Eight, but having said that, Kasich would not be a good choice. Kasich supported the Iran deal. He supports Common Core. He vetoed the heartbeat bill, which will, believe me, Christian conservatives have a voice in state home. He accepted Obamacare in his state, which our government didn't. He has never proven conservative credentials as a governor. Marco Rubio's conservative credentials, he gets about 90s or close to 100s in the American Conservative Union polls. I think, and also he's from the state of Florida, so he can maybe deliver there. But you got to remember something, Adam, and I'll say this to Ron, too. Vice President doesn't have as much impact in an election to deliver a state and maybe a little more. But with his oratory skills, Rubio's my pick, and not Casey.
Okay, Ron, let me know what you think. Who might be a good choice if Mike Pence occupies the Oval Office?
Well, I don't think Marco Rubio would be a good choice at all. He's a lazy guy. He's not very bright. Look at his performance in the debates. Not at all good. He's not very intellectual. I think, you know, he may be Hispanic, yes, but if you want to look for an Hispanic that's much more solid, I would say, how about Governor Susana Martinez of New Mexico, who's Mexican-American, which is the largest Hispanic group. Remember, Rubio is Cuban. They're a small group, only 3.5%. But Governor Susana Martinez of New Mexico or Governor Brian Sandoval of Nevada are both Mexican-American. They're both Republicans, and they both supported, indeed, keeping Obamacare going in order that their people not lose out on it. They're both distressed about what's going on because they're reasonable and rational. They don't want to see millions of people off Medicaid, I should say, and off Obamacare just because Donald Trump has a fit and doesn't want to care about these people who he claims he cared about. So I would think they're better. But actually, I would say beyond those two, they're lesser known. I would say Nikki Haley, the UN ambassador, is the one good cabinet member that I think Trump has that has come across well. And I think she really is very impressive. I don't necessarily agree with everything she has said and done, but I think she would be a very good choice for vice president. I also think Ben Sasse of Nebraska, Senator Ben Sasse, who's a true conservative, and he's been critical of Trump from day one and even before day one. He's only 45. He's very photogenic, and he's from the Midwest. He's from the you know the main area of the country where most of the red voters are, I guess you'd say, or at least the ones that really are Republican. And I think Sasse is someone who's honest and decent. He's strong conservative. I don't necessarily agree with him on everything he says, but I really respect the guy because he's a real conservative. I guess I could also say I find it fascinating that he has a PhD in American history like I do, which is great. And he was a college president in Nebraska, so he's got solid credentials. And then I would also put in Governor John Kasich of Ohio, who is a conservative, just not a Trump conservative. He was a solid figure in the House Budget Committee and the House of Representatives for, like, I guess, 20 years or so. Then was on Fox News Channel, had his own show for a while. Then became governor of Ohio in 2011. And I think he's been one of the best Republican governors. And is a very solid guy who I think would have been the best choice to have been the nominee last year rather than any of the others who were in the race. So I would say it would be, I would say Martinez and Sandoval more in the background, but Haley really good, and Sasse and Kasich would be my five choices.
Before we get to Mike's rebuttal, Ron, we talked on a previous show that Donald Trump thought that Ben Sasse looked more like a gym rat than a politician. I'm still kind of giggling over yes. that.
He's in very good physical shape. He does a lot of exercise, yes, which, of course, Donald Trump keeps on gaining weight. Every time he opens up his mouth, more air comes in.
So I don't know why that's considered bad. I think you need to be in good shape. Being president or vice president is a strenuous job, and you need to be in yes. good shape. President Ford was a football player. Reagan was athletic, especially when he was younger. Donald Trump, he golfs a lot, but he probably should hit the gym. Anyway, Mike, you can rebut not just against what Ron said, but what I said, my being hard on Trump, that maybe he's not in very good shape. Also, what I'd like to ask you, Mike, a couple of the people that Ron mentioned are of the female persuasion. Do you think we're ready for a female vice president or president? We've had a few that have ran and not been successful. We almost had our first female president, but she lost. Of course, I was a Geraldine Ferraro supporter. I wasn't a big supporter of Sarah Palin, but I admired that she was running for vice president. They ran a spirited campaign. What are your comments, Mike, about that?
If Margaret Thatcher can do it in England, a woman can do it in America. Yes, yes, absolutely. However, I'm more a Nikki Haley fan than a Susana Martinez fan, because Nikki Haley is a fighter. She is an excellent ambassador, and I think she would be good. I don't like Susana Martinez. She's not for the full repeal of Obamacare, which has people have lost their doctors, their insurance, more people on the emergency room. I just had the very worst bill of my lifetime, by the way. There's one every three counties have one juror, and she is also a big supporter of blanket amnesty. I think that's a horrible thing to cost as much to the country as Obamacare. Now, for Ben Sasse, I just want to say something. I respect him. I respect that junior class of Ben Sasse, Tom Tillis, Joni Ernst. I think he wrote a book that's got great reviews, and maybe a Sasse Feinman crossfire would be great. And I think that would be interesting debate on professors, but I think being an ever-Trumper would hurt him, which he was, would hurt him. I mean, I want to make something clear to you. This is very important to your audience. Trump is not conservative. He is a conservative, but there are people more conservative than him. I think tying the whole movement to him, as Bill Kristol, a very strong critic of Trump, said, there I agree with him, and I just wanted to throw that out. But, yes, we are ready for a woman president. Years ago, I would love to see someone I had on my show passed away. May she rest in peace, Phyllis Schlafly.
Mike, it's certainly come up in other talk shows that some conservatives just don't feel that we should have a female president. And you're saying you disagree with that. You bring up Margaret Thatcher and you have no problem with a female. Do you think it would be a good refreshing change to have a female in the White House? And if so, is there Is there someone and of the 300 million people in America, who do you think would be the best female as a president or vice president right now?
That's an excellent question. I'm going to say Marsha Blackburn. I'll tell you why. I mean, she's running it, and this is why I admire her so much. The congresswoman from North Carolina, the Senate candidate, she will call it like it is without being crude. She is a strong conservative. She attacks the establishment in her ads, and she attacks liberals in her ads. And as for other people not ready for woman president, my guest speaks for my guest and nobody else.
Well, thank you, Mike. Let's have Ron provide the final comment / rebuttal as we close out the show. That hour, 45-50 minutes has flown by as I thought it would. Really interesting conversation, guys, and really appreciate you being on the air with me. Hopefully we can do this again sometime soon. Ron, what do you think about what Mike had to say? And again, you and I have talked about it'd be great to have a female president, but it's got to be the right person. So also tell me whom you think might be the best female as a president or vice president. Should we go that direction?
Thank you, Adam. I'll start off by saying Marsha Blackburn. I hear that name and my eyes roll. I think she's horrible, as is Diane Black, another congresswoman from Tennessee who's running for governor while Marsha Blackburn is running for senator. And Diane Black wants to have the ERs no longer be required to accept everybody who comes in. And I cannot believe anybody would say that people in need of medical help cannot be allowed to be in the ER. It's, you know, that's just crazy. But I do not like Marsha Blackburn. As I said, my eyes roll. Now, who do I think? I would say there are two women right now in the Democratic Party that I think really would be excellent candidates. One of them would be Amy Klobuchar, Senator from Minnesota, who I really like a lot. And she's in the Hubert Humphrey tradition, which I love, you know, because I'm a Hubert Humphrey liberal. But also the new senator from California, Kamala Harris, I think is also someone to watch. She's multiracial, she's been California Attorney General for years, so she's got a lot more experience at a high level than even, say, Barack Obama had. And I think Kamala Harris would really be excellent. She and Amy Klobuchar. But as far as the Republican Party, it would be only Nikki Haley or possibly Susana Martinez. But I would say Nikki Haley would still be the best choice that I could figure, but definitely not, who Mike suggested. I do not believe, that she would be a good choice. I'm forgetting the name now. What's the name again? I forgot the name.
Marsha
Blackburn. Yeah. See, I have problems even being calm with that name because I see her and I just can't tolerate her. I think she's horrible. But she probably will be the next senator for Tennessee. That's true.
So
that's
not
as far as she could go.
Not a fan, Ron. Well, I appreciate it. It's been a really great discussion. Great having you guys on the air with us today. We'll close out shortly, but before we do that, Mike and Ron, tell us about your websites, your blogs, and how to get in touch with you on Facebook or other methods of social media. Mike, you can go first.
Sure. You can find me on Facebook. It's the Mike Essen Radio Show. Please click like, and you'll find my commentaries. And on Twitter, it's the Mike Essen Show. And you could also look me up on Blog Talk. This is my website for my show. blogtalkradio.com/ my name is MikeEssen.com. Thank you so much, Adam and Ron.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's been a pleasure. And last but not least, Ron, tell us about how to get in touch with you on social media.
Okay, well, I'm on the ProgressiveProfessor.com. I'm also on Facebook under my name and under the Progressive Professor and also under my book title, Assassinations, Threats in the American Presidency. I'm on Twitter as PolitHist, PolitHist. And my book, of course, now out in paperback since March, is Assassinations, Threats to the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson and Barack Obama. Of course, published in 2015, but now in paperback in 2017. Robin Littlefield, and a C-SPAN interview with Brian Lamb is on my blog. If you want to listen and hear the interview for an hour about my book.
Well, thank you very much,
gentlemen. Thank you very much, Mike and Adam, for this event.
No problem. It's been my pleasure.
I thank Ron and Adam for this event as well.
No problem. Gentlemen, hopefully we will talk again soon on the radio and on Facebook Messenger or other methods of communication that we do here in 2017. Adam Lepp here with the finesse in mid-morning coffee breaks with my special guest, Dr. Ronald Fineman and Mike Essen, a liberal commentator and conservative commentator, respectively. Hopefully you enjoyed the conversation. Feel free to email me with any questions or comments or suggestions, adam@wwgh1071.com.